You're listening to SBS News.
Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky said Ukraine was working to get its remaining troops safely out of the Azovstal steel plant.
The evacuation mission is continuing. It is being supervised by our military and intelligence officers. The most influential international mediators are involved.
The Ukrainian government is hoping more than 250 fighters extracted from a steelworks at Mariupol will be exchanged for Russian prisoners of war. The Russian government says President Vladimir Putin has personally guaranteed prisoners would be treated in line with international standards. The surrendering of Ukrainian fighters could mark the end of the Mariupol fight, which has left the city in ruins and thousands of people dead. Ukraine's Deputy Defense Minister, Hanna Maylar, says 53 fighters have been seriously injured and that the rescue process remains ongoing.
The number one priority at the moment is the operation to rescue our fighters, our defenders of Mariupol who have been defending the city. We announced yesterday that this joint operation is being carried out by several agencies of defense forces.
A convoy of at least seven buses carrying Ukrainian soldiers, escorted by pro-Russian forces, has reportedly left the industrial complex overnight. More than 260 fighters, some badly wounded, were taken to Russian-controlled territory late on Monday. While evacuations are succeeding due to UN and Red Cross negotiations for humanitarian corridors to ensure the safe evacuation of those at the Azovstal steelworks, Mr. Zelensky says in other regions, Russia has continued its intense bombardment.
The 83rd day of our resistance started with a serious combination of Russian strikes on Ukraine, missile strikes on Lviv, Sumy and Chernihiv regions and aerial attacks on the Luhansk region, targeted, covert reconnaissance operations along our borders. This was intended not simply to create tension in our country or to test our forces. This was an attempt to compensate the Russian army for a series of failures in the east and south of the country.
Eight people are said to have died in a village in the Chernihiv region, the result of a missile strike. Meanwhile, Finnish President Sauli Niinisto said he was optimistic over resolving issues with Turkey on Finland's and Sweden's bids to join NATO.
I had a telephone conversation with President Erdogan in early April, and it was crystal clear that he was supportive, and he said that Finnish NATO membership should be seen favorably. Right now, it looks like there are some different opinions. We must continue to discuss further. Our people are ready to discuss with Turkish officials, and both of us have asked for phone conversations with Erdogan. And like I said, ultimately, I'm optimistic.
Both countries pushed ahead with their bids to join, even as Turkey insisted it won't let the previously non-allied Nordic countries into the alliance because of their alleged support for Kurdish militants. The Finnish parliament has voted overwhelmingly in favor of NATO membership, with 188 out of 199 MPs supporting the move. The landslide result has paved the way for the country's formal application to be sent this week. In a sign of solidarity over the two countries' decision to join NATO, the Finnish president has addressed the Swedish parliament. President Niinisto spoke of the historical significance of the joint move, saying Russian demands to stop NATO's expansion aimed to reduce Finland and Sweden's choice and sovereignty.
This put us in a new position. Russia's grand offensive against Ukraine made it clear that Russia once more is ready to use its armed forces in nearby areas to reach its goals. The sum of these factors demonstrated that our traditional positioning was unsustainable.
Swedish Prime Minister Magdalena Andersson said Sweden is also still seeking contact with Turkey to sort out the question marks.
Like President Niinisto is saying, we are seeking contact with Turkey and we are ready on different levels and also, of course, to travel to Turkey to discuss and sort out the question marks that could exist. So we are looking forward to be able to have a bilateral dialogue with Turkey and we will, of course, also have bilateral dialogues with other NATO countries during this process.
Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov has sought to play down the significance of the two countries joining the alliance. He said Sweden and Finland already had a long history of taking part in NATO military drills. This comes as President Putin said it will be difficult for some European countries to refuse Russian oil supplies as EU members negotiate an oil embargo in response to the Ukraine conflict. President Putin is warning that Western sanctions and the proposed oil embargo have pushed up global prices and stoked inflation across Europe.
The sanctions already adopted by our European colleagues and their vocal declarations about the possibility of a complete rejection of Russian energy sources in the future have led to an increase in oil prices on the spot market.
The EU talks about the plans to take action against Russia failed because of a veto from Hungary, which relies on Russian oil imports. Meanwhile, Australia has targeted more than 24 Russian-associated individuals in the latest round of sanctions against the Kremlin. The sanctions target the first deputy chief of general staff of Russia's armed forces, Russian journalists and news anchors, and acting Russian ministers, as well as pro-Russian research and cultural institutions. Australia has now sanctioned more than 800 individuals and 50 entities since Russia's invasion of Ukraine in late February. Assam Al-Ghalib, SBS News.